response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Always live on the free Odyssey app.
I listen on the app. I usually listen to the radio, like, on my app.
Love the app. 97.5 and 1240 KFH. Kansas Fan Headquarters, 97.5 and 1240 KFH Wichita. KNSS HD2 Clearwater and Odyssey Sports Station.
Hey, Wichita, Jacob Albrock. Stay right there for the latest breaking in sports talk. It's Sports Daily coming up next, exclusively on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Jim Rome here with your Rome Report. This is at the RBC Heritage. Listen.
Give me back my son!
Give me back my son.
Give me back my son!
Not quite as good as it was at the Masters, because how could it be? It's the Masters. Again, I would love to sit here and say, it's us. It's us. Where else would that come from? Or where else would some line from a movie that's like 30 years old, where would that come from? How does that all of a sudden make a comeback?
Give me back my son!
If not for this show. Now, I don't know that with certainty.
Give me back my son!
Give me back
my
son!
And we've got all the F-bombs and threats to come along with it.
Give me back my son!
So now it's become a thing. Now, in the middle of backswings, or after a shot, you're hearing people or some, you're hearing somebody say, give me back my son. So I'm saying, all right, I can't say with certainty that it's us. But if not, where's it coming from?
I'm Jim Rome. Jim Rome here. True story. I married the best person I've ever met, Janet. And not only that, but the best mother I know. So would it not stand a reason that I would get her the very best gift for Mother's Day? Aura Frames. What an absolutely amazing product. I love it so much. And more importantly, she does. Save on gifts that moms love at AuraFrames.com. For a limited time, get $25 off the Carver Mat Frame. That's the one we have. You have to use the code ROME, R-O-M-E. Support the show by mentioning the Jim Rome Show at checkout. Terms and conditions do apply. AuraFrames.
One in four Americans have a disability. I'm one of them. I'm also a working mom who cares deeply about making sure every child with a disability thrives by getting their access needs met. We've got a trusted ally by our side. Easter Seals provides children and families the foundation for lifelong success through early learning programs, skills training, and prep for college and career. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours. Join us at EasterSeals.com.
Please hang on. Please. This is an official interruption of your local entertainment transmission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Good morning. This is your wake-up call.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Happy Tuesday to you. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage in today for TJ Cleland. Glad to have big fella in. Max Powers producing. He's taking your calls at 869-1240. We're taking your comments on Facebook, on YouTube, on X, where you can find the show. Thanks also for watching us on 12 News Connected. Thanks for listening to us over the air and on the Odyssey app. You can leave voice messages on the Odyssey app. You can email the show at sportsdaily at kfhradio.com. We appreciate it, all the different ways you might take us in here on Sports Daily. Of course, if you're a little groggy today, if you need that Prairie Fire coffee a little extra this morning, we feel you. If you stayed up late with the Royals last night, you need to maybe put something in that coffee to help get you through the day. Mm-hmm. It is, you know, you keep wondering, boy, is it, we going to hit rock bottom with the Royals here early in the year?
Rock bottom.
And they just keep taking it a little lower.
Jamie, Christmas. You're not even in double digits wins. I mean, you know, most of the teams in Major League Baseball have at least 10 wins. I mean, there's only like 7 or 8 teams that don't. I mean, come on now. This is just crazy. And you want to know something? I guess we've got to say again, if the Royals climb in back into this thing somewhere along the line, which they could do. I mean, we think we think this is a good enough baseball team that somewhere along the line they will crawl back into this fight somehow to play for a wild card. I mean, it seems like it's not uncommon for the Royals to play back in, and now they're two or three games away from a position with the wild card and getting into the playoffs. We've seen that happen on numerous occasions. And will this team be one of those teams, or will this be one of those teams that just doesn't find that base, find that whatever it is they do, you know, get that identity for what we're good at? And because right now at this point, what are we good for? Our starting pitching, I guess, if there was a bright spot, we could say starting pitching has been good, decent. Bullpen hasn't quite been there. But, boy, I'll tell you what, this can be a very frustrating situation year in and year out. I guarantee you this isn't where the powers to be in the Royals organization thought they would be at this point, is it?
No. No, it is not.
No, it is
not. They're trying to convince people they need a downtown stadium and to punch in a bunch of money. The timing of this is awful.
Awful.
We'll dig into last night, which was a new set of issues and lows, sort of. We'll have that. We'll get ready for the Chiefs in the NFL draft. Andy Reid talked yesterday. We'll take you back through some of what he had to say ahead of the draft, which begins on Thursday, in which the Chiefs are getting after it a little earlier than they have in a very long time. So we'll see what Paul Savage thinks of the latest rumors and who he'd like to see them attack in the draft. It's all coming for you. It's all what's on tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, where it's patio season. Have a brew with the view on Delano's rooftop deck. Enjoy happy hour on WBC East Patio, or grab a pizza outside, shielded from the setting sun at WBC West. When you think patio, think Wichita Brewing Company. Pizza and beer made here. Paul also wants to talk a little NBA playoffs. Leave that to Paul. NBA has not been on my list this year, but we'll get the early goings of what's happening. Most series now, about a game into this thing.
Yeah, a couple games now. Yeah,
as we get through, it's portal season. We'll keep our eye on any portal rumblings. KU still kind of slowly coming along. We saw him add a player yesterday, but certainly nothing headliney just yet. Good player, I think, but that's kind of what we're doing with all the portal guys at this point. We think, right? We're not 100% sure because a lot of them we haven't seen play any basketball. I mean, any basketball yet. But we'll get into it all throughout the day today. That game we were talking about, the Royals fall 7-5. We're going to talk Chiefs on the other side. So just in case you missed it last night and didn't catch it, the Royals just absolutely mind-numbing stuff last night. They have the 1-0 lead in a game where they stranded more than a dozen base runners out there. They had four or five different opportunities with the bases loaded in less than two outs, could not come up with any of them before extra innings, and just absolutely, I mean, it's insane stuff what we're seeing this team squander here early on. And then, well, okay, 1-0 holds. Seth Lugo's fantastic in this game. Matt Strom gives you a good hold. Lucas Ursig comes in, walks three guys, and can't hold the lead. Blows the save. Go into extra innings, and then things fall apart. There are questionable manager decisions, I thought, in this game all over the place. The strange times to bunt, the use of John Schreiber late in the game. I don't know what's going on here, Paul. I don't know what to say, except what in the world is going on with the Royals? Why do we, like, this is getting to a point now, 7-16. They have blown leads. We have seen offensive ineptitude. They've lost them every way you can lose them, Paul. Like, it doesn't matter how you come up with it. And we're only 19 to 25 games into this thing.
Well, there were all kinds of ways last night that Kansas City could have won this game. I mean, there were at least two or three opportunities where you had runners all over the place, and all you needed was one, in regular innings, and boom, you got a win, and you walk off, and people are feeling much better. But the loss last night, everybody's feeling much worse. I mean, I'm at that point too, where I'm starting to really have doubts. You know, up to a certain point, you think to yourself. And by the way, over the years, how many times have we talked about Kansas City? Once we say get to October. Not October, but say late August, early September, and we talk about, well, you know, those losses early in the season. Jacob, yeah. Those losses. By the way, the problem with that is those losses count late in the season, don't they? And here's going to be one of those situations again. For all we know, the Royals are going to get their act together, and all of a sudden, you know, we're going down into August, and now we're just, you know, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 games out of a wild card berth, and there it is right there. You know, you get on a hot streak, somebody loses a couple games. All of a sudden, Kansas City Royals are now, you know, they're competing for a wild card berth. They might make the playoffs. And then all of a sudden, they don't make the playoffs, and we've seen that happen numerous times. But, you know, that gets frustrating after a while, and all these losses are going to mount up. My question for you at this point is, already 16 losses, only 7 wins. You know, that's only 24 games right there. That's all. That's or 23 games. That's all this is. But 23 games in it, into the season, there's already too many losses this early in the season, really, to make that run, to be that team we want them to be in late August, aren't they? Isn't that too much? Isn't that too much to ask for most baseball teams?
You have to remember the stretch they went on last year. Where they won whatever it was, 18 out of 20. I think the challenge for me is, Paul, we're seeing stuff that may not be able to be fixed. Like, I still think they have, on paper, some good things, but everything is going wrong at the same time. Guys are pressing. Uh-huh. You've got squabbles with the manager. Like, it's only April, and we're getting that kind of stuff? I don't know if something crazy is going to happen to try to shake this thing loose, but the Royals have invested a lot into this season, and to have it unraveling not even a month in feels like desperation time if you're upper management. We'll get into that later.
Yes, I'd like to.
We'll take your comments on it. But when we come back, let's talk NFL draft. Andy Reid talked yesterday. We'll take you back through some of what he had to say ahead of Thursday's first round, where the Chiefs have 2 picks. That's coming up on Sports Day.
This is Sports Radio KFH.
From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, don't worry about me. I called ART.
Traffic. No major incidents, but there are construction delays on Southeast Boulevard North at 31st Street. Give yourself a few extra minutes there. From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey Wichita traffic.
Weather. It's a Control-C, Control-V, or in other words, copy and paste forecast today. Mostly sunny, breezy, and warm again. A high of 78, south winds 15 to 25, and gusty. Increasing clouds, south winds, and upper 50s tonight. Mostly cloudy skies, clearing late tomorrow. A high of 75, continued breezy. Mostly cloudy, warmer on Thursday. Highs in the low 80s with evening thunderstorms. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Right now,
the Dan Patrick Show.
Dan Patrick.
I don't think Joker wins another MVP. And it's not because he's not deserving. He's just not going to win it. And Wemby is on the way. Because I would be surprised if Wemby is not the favorite next year to win the MVP. Felt like it might be a little too early this year. He did miss games earlier in the season. He's wonderful to watch. We're lucky to be treated to some... These players, young players, now Joker's not young, but he's still doing things that nobody's ever done. Like when you hear that in any sport, when you go, well, nobody's ever done that. Okay, you got my attention. And I understand this because we do want a new topic. You know, the NBA writers are no different than me or you as a fan, where you go, You know, we need a new story here.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Dan and the Danettes and you.
Middays from 11 until 2 on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
A collapse in the Garden. The Hawks steal game 2 from the Knicks. The story is New York. They only hit 2 shots in the final 5.5 minutes of the game. This is an unacceptable loss. The Knicks are a championship caliber team. They have championship aspirations. Their owner has said as much, and you lose a game and let CJ McCollum steal one from you in 2026? That can't happen. I'm Dan Patrick.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage with you on this Tuesday. It's a good day, Paul. It's a good day, unless you're a Royals fan. Then it might have started off a little rough.
Yeah.
I want to tell you that Longhofer Lawn and Tree Care, celebrating 60 years in Wichita, providing expert lawn care for healthy lawn, tree and shrub care, and bedweed control since 1966. Longhofer Lawn and Tree Care. We come back here. We're going to talk a little Chiefs, Paul. First things first, before we get into some of what
Alrighty.
Andy Reid had to say yesterday, as we're getting all kinds of rumors. We've talked in the past, and I don't know how much you follow mock drafting and all of those kinds of things, but the mocks kind of have the Chiefs all over the place. A lot of rumors have heated up in the last 3 or 4 days that there is maybe some mutual interest for the Chiefs to move up as high as pick 3. I have said, and I said this last week, and certainly now as those rumors have heated up, I think I'm to the point now, Paul, where I prefer if they can get up to 3 and it means they get Reese or Bailey, one of the edge rushers, that would be fine with me. Of course it's cost dependent, but if it costs you the extra first round pick to move up to be able to get one of those players, I think that's my preferred choice. Now, don't overpay to do it, but I think that edge rusher, when you're at this spot in the draft, if you have a chance to get it, it's such an expensive position in the NFL right now. There is a cost consideration, I think, and a fact that the Chiefs have kind of struggled in that area for a little while now. Andy Reid has, you know, always expressed an interest in building up the offense. I think offensive line is in play, whether or not fans want to hear that. I think wide receiver is still in play, because, you know, you've got to think of this. You got to put yourself in the Chiefs' shoes. The Chiefs are, you know, in a different sort of situation than some teams because they have Mahomes. They can get the luxury of thinking 3, 4, 5 years down the road. Wide receiver is going to be a problem after this year because I cannot imagine they'll pay Rashee Rice the kind of money that free agents are getting in the open market. So I do think receiver's in play. I don't think you can overlook really anything but probably quarterback. They're not taking a quarterback, and now with Kenneth Walker, I don't think they're taking a running back, and just about everything else is in play. So as we see all that, what is Paul Savage doing with pick 9 and 29 in that first round, if it's up to you?
Well, this is really an interesting draft because, I mean, once you get past Mendoza with the number one pick, and I think we all can agree that the Raiders are going to take Mendoza. I mean, I don't know why they wouldn't. They need a quarterback.
Yeah, that's
done.
There was a little, you know, maybe they'll think about somebody, but they're taking Mendoza.
They're going to take him. Now, past pick 2, who knows? I mean, this has been kind of a weird year. Nobody can make a case for anything. And I heard somebody about a week or two ago talking about there may be more first-round trades in this first round than ever has been in the history of the NFL draft. I would not be surprised because you talk about checking mock drafts out, and it's fascinating and it's interesting. And by the way, you see anybody's mock draft, it's an opinion. I think we can agree with that.
Nobody's a hard thing to do.
And they are all over the place, just as the Chiefs pick. Who are the Chiefs going to pick? Well, you just went through a really good scenario Jacob, with regards to, well, the Chiefs have this need, and the money may make them take this, or maybe somebody will trade this so that they can go get this guy. So let's trade up, and maybe we'll trade one of the first-round picks away to get something else that we want. And I find it all fascinating, but this is going to be one of those drafts where there are going to be more first-round picks while this draft is going on, then we can remember for a long, long time. So settle in when you get ready for Thursday night and you're going to settle in. I want to watch that first round because I don't know what's going on. You've got general managers all over this league. They're with you. They don't know what's going on. They don't have a clue what's going on. They got to figure out where the first chip falls. Who's put available? Who gives me an opportunity for this? It's going to be fascinating. And just settle in because there's going to be a lot of trades. There's going to be a lot of changes. I think it's going to be a very interesting draft. But now with the Chiefs, what are they going to do? I don't know. Because you just went over all the things that the Chiefs need and why they need them. And maybe it's money. Maybe it's position. Maybe it's thinking about the future. Maybe this need has something. I don't know. I'm not sure. But if I had to make a guess, I'm going with edge. I'm going with an edge player. We see in modern NFL football, Jacob, just how important an edge rusher is, don't we? How important is that? It changes the course of games. It changes down and distances. It changes every aspect of every offense in the NFL if you have that edge rusher. And I think that no matter what you always think, the Chiefs can't go wrong with a great edge rusher in the first round. Now, it's just me. Are there other needs? Yeah, you just spelled them out a minute ago, and I'm with you. But for me, if I had to settle down and make a pick, it would be edge. And why would I do that? Because there's a lot of darn good edge rushers in this draft. There's going to be a number. There's probably 10 of them that you could almost make a case for them being drafted in the first round. But I would settle and I would go get that best edge rusher that's available if I still have number 9.
Yeah,
am I wrong on that?
No, well, I'm with you on edge rusher. That'd be my preferred pick, but with 9, after those first two, I'm not sure I love all the names right there. There may be a bunch of good edge rushers in this draft.
There are.
But when we get down to it and you're looking at mock drafts and, you know, we get into it, it's really Reuben Bain of Miami, who I think everybody loved to watch as they made their run through the playoffs and into the championship game. But sometimes at that position, Paul, and you know this, you've coached him forever, it does feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, that is a position where the measurables typically hold true, right? Like there is a body type, a set of athletic skills at that position that feels pretty universal. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to find guys that don't fit it that aren't great. You are, but when I'm looking at, because they have other big needs. They have a real big need at corner. I'm not going to hold out that they don't take an offensive lineman there if they feel like it's the best player. It's just, are you comfortable at 9, not at 29, but at 9, that first pick after those first two edge rushers? Do you think, let's say, Bain, Falk of Auburn has been up there listed about around that high? Those are the two most consistently.
That's right.
Are you comfortable with maybe taking those guys just a little bit higher than what you'd see in their overall ranking, reaching to some degree to get one of those guys?
Well, that's very.
Or at 9, do you pivot and you go into, and Andy Reid mentioned this best player available. Everyone mentions the best player available. I don't think that's just some cliche. I think it's real. When you're picking as high as the Chiefs are picking and you never pick that high, that doesn't feel like the spot to reach. That feels like the spot to make sure you get a really good football player, regardless of the position.
Right, right. And I know you're kind of speaking to the terms with Reuben Bain, if you believe in him, kid out of Miami, edge rusher, really good player, good college player. However, here's the problem with the NFL. He's 6'2", which means he's probably in real life 6'1 and a half. And I think that that's a problem. One of the things to be one of those great edge rushers that we're talking about is you got to be a little bit taller. That's why when you look at the draft and you look at the first two edge rushers that are going, you mentioned them both, Reese and Bailey. I don't think there's any question that they'll both be gone by five. I'll be stunned if either one of them's there by four, maybe. They're both going to be gone fairly quickly. But 6'4", 6'4", those are the kind of kids that you look at, and those are the ones that in the first round you want to take. That's why I'm – and nothing against Reuben Bain. He's got a motor. He's got some skills. He knows how to use his hands in pass rush. He's quick, uses his quickness. Sometimes I'm not crazy about how he uses his quickness, but he's still going to be, you know, a powerhouse in the NFL, we think. But I'm always hesitant with a 6'2". Edge rusher. You like those guys a little taller, a little lankier, makes elevation to block knockdown passes a little better, all kinds of reasons. So with that being said, then you'll go at least maybe 10, 15 spots before you get to the next edge rusher. But you're right. The problem with edge is that unless you're gonna go with Bain, you know that Bailey and Reese they're probably going to be gone, aren't they? They're probably going to be gone.
There were some a long time ago mocks that maybe had Bailey slipping a little bit, but those two guys aren't making it to nine.
Yeah, they're not going to.
I think if the Chiefs, and that's why I get into, and I think we're maybe sharing a brain on that. Like if I'm the Chiefs, I see those two guys. I see a position of need. I also see myself with a, you know, you've got pick 29 down there. Now, they've got to replace a lot of things, but it's you can use that. I would if the cost is generally that second first round pick, and let's say you got to throw in a I don't know what it would be a third or something next year to move up and get Bailey or Reese, and it sure sounds like Reese is going to be a Jet at two. So it's Bailey. Bailey was probably my favorite player in this draft coming in. Now, again, and I say this to TJ all the time, and I think you're probably with me on this, too. I got to be careful because I watch the most Big 12 football. It's what I watch, watching KU, watching K-State, watching Big 12 football. So I do understand that, like, I get a little bit biased towards some of these elite Big 12 players because I've seen them. Like, Jordan Tyson looks like a great receiver if he can get through his injuries because we saw him play at Arizona State and we've seen what he can do firsthand. We just watch more of them. Now, we watch some of these Ohio State players too because they've been such an elite team over the years. But I'm trying to sit here and not like overvalue somebody because they played in the Big 12 and we watched him and, you know, to try to put him up against, you know, Falk of Auburn. I didn't watch any Auburn last year. They weren't very good. So that's I got to be careful with that, too. But I do think generally and you look at the scouts and you look at and everybody agrees like it's Reese and Bailey in some order. So if the cost is just to use 29 to move up to three and get Bailey, if you're telling me it's that or take Bain at nine, I'm taking option A. I'm going to use the extra pick and go up because the Chiefs can be aggressive. You got Mahomes. And by the way, Andy Reid talked about Mahomes' recovery. That all seems to be going fine. But you've got Mahomes, you've got a longer window than most teams. So they do, I think, get the luxury of a little more flexibility. If they love Bailey and they want to, you know, overpay a little bit to go get the player that they think is going to be, you know, that dude for 10 years, do it. I got no problem with that. If they want to sit back and say, we've got too many needs, let's just sit here with all these picks we've got this year and let's just take the best player every time. I'm okay with that, too. They just, with that pick down at 29, Paul, like that's where historically they've gotten a little risky, and they've missed on those picks a lot. So if you're in love with Bailey, what'd they do the last time they were in love with a player like that? With Patrick Mahomes. They got aggressive. They traded up. Oh, happened to play at Texas Tech, too, by the way, which is kind of funny. But they got aggressive. They went up, and they got their guy. That worked out. If they love Bailey like that, then go do it. I've got no problem with that. I've got no problem with going to try to get one of the real, real elite players out of a draft where people are kind of generally saying maybe it's not quite as talented as some drafts in the past. But there's going to be a lot of good options. You've seen Mox, Paul. I know you've seen Caleb Downs play. You see safeties like that in college football that make as big an impact in a game as he has for years and years. He is another guy that slides down there. And I got to tell you, if the worst case scenario is you're sitting there at 9 and maybe you don't desperately need a safety, but you walk out of that draft with Caleb Downs at 9, that's going to be just fine too. Mm-hmm. I think the Chiefs are in a really good spot.
Right.
I think they're in a really good spot. What I don't want to see him do is reach on a player that's not talented enough maybe to be at 9 because they're stuck and they don't really love anybody. Have that plan now. Like, do they have, because Mendoza will go 1, do they have 8 players that they love enough to say happy to have them at 9?
Mm.
Because if it's not, if they don't, then they got to have a backup plan. If it doesn't look like, because if you're sitting there, don't reach at 9, trade down at that point. Just keep getting more picks. I don't want to see him overdraft a player there just because it's like, well, we didn't really love anybody, but so we just went kind of for the position we needed. And that would be the one thing I wouldn't want to see out of this. Maybe they love Reuben Bain. Maybe they've talked to him and watched his tape and they're not as worried about what you mentioned. He doesn't fit the mold of the league's elite pass rushers. Maybe they don't have a problem with that. And I'm fine with that too, if that's the way they evaluate it. Mm-hmm. But they've struggled drafting defensive ends and edge rushers over the years here, Paul. I'd rather just see him get the most talented guy.
And then I might say back to you with regards to what you just said is that, well, hold on just a second. So maybe you stick with number 9. Maybe you end up with Bain. And maybe I'm totally wrong. He's going to be a good defensive lineman. I'm not saying he's not. I'm just saying, you know, defensive edges can often be the difference of really good defenses and so-so defenses. But you end up with a good number 9 pick, and now you get back down to 29. There's probably going to be some really good corners. There's probably going to be some really good corners that are still going to be available in this draft. And now at 29, you get to go get yourself a really fine corner in this draft. Now that's the other scenario, that how that can play out. And I find that fascinating too, because I don't mind all, you know, corner is such an important position. I mean, you know, it's one-on-one. I mean, they make you, they break you, they frustrate you, they make you cheer. I mean, corners are a unique position. But then all of a sudden you drop down to 29, and I think there's going to be some really good NFL possibility type corners in still left in this draft. I mean, that's your other option. Stick with what I guess you call mediocrity, and I don't know if that's the right term or what I don't know that you even said that, but I'm kind of reading into that. But stick with number 9, take what's available in edge, and then go get a corner around 29. How about that?
I'm fine if they take corner at 9 too. Delane's probably good enough. Real quick, we'll get to some comments. Keep them coming on the other side. But yeah, it's you got to think about style too. I mean, Spags probably gets a little bit of grace here to give his opinion and his input. You've got to stylistically have players that fit. But I think Spags or anyone would tell you if it's an elite player, you'll figure out how to use them.
Yeah, that's right. They'll find their way to the field, won't they?
How you fit that's kind of the same thing with Downs. Like, is safety their biggest need? No, but that guy's an elite football player. You'll figure out a way to utilize that. I kind of think they're trading up.
I'm not surprised if they do. This, I can't predict, neither you nor I, nor anybody, is going to make predictions on how this draft goes.
There's going to be a ton of trades. I think they want to. Now, they're not going to get desperate and do something crazy.
Right.
But Brett Veach is not afraid of a trade.
Right.
We know that. The dude loves to trade. So it's a draft maybe with fewer truly elite type prospects, we'll call them, because there may be tons of elite players we don't know until they get on the field.
Okay.
But we'll continue the conversation. We'll take some of your comments on it. I want to get Paul's thought on Fernando Mendoza's decision not to go to the draft Thursday night. We'll get into all of it on Sports Daily.
This is Sports Radio KFH.
everything.
From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, don't worry about me, I called ART.
Traffic.
There are no major incidents, but I-235 South is slow heading onto K-96 eastbound. From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey Wichita traffic.
Weather.
It's a control C, control V, or in other words, copy and paste forecast today. Mostly sunny, breezy, and warm again. A high of 78, south winds 15 to 25 and gusty. Increasing clouds, south winds, and upper 50s tonight. Mostly cloudy skies, clearing late tomorrow. A high of 75, continued breezy. Mostly cloudy, warmer on Thursday. Highs in the low 80s with evening thunderstorms. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Odyssey sports draft coverage is presented nationally by Bet365, where winning is everything. Download the Bet365 app and lock in your picks before the game begins. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in select states only. And by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need.
This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
A collapse in the Garden. The Hawks steal game two from the Knicks. The story is New York. They only hit two shots in the final 5.5 minutes of the game. This is an unacceptable loss. The Knicks are a championship caliber team. They have championship aspirations. Their owner has said as much, and you lose a game and let CJ McCollum steal one from you in 2026? That can't happen. I'm Dan Ben.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Glad to be with you. Crestview Country Club, great supporter of the program. It's a little windy, but hey, you get out there and you golf right through it anyway. 36 holes, they are getting them in great shape, looking good, fairways looking green. Everything's good out there, the north and the south course. If you haven't been out and seen the south course in a few years, it's outstanding out there. Give Crestview a call. Tell them we sent you from Sports Daily. Go take a tour. See the facilities. Have a good time. And we appreciate their support. All right. Paul, a couple of comments here. One, Anthony says, good to have you in this morning, Paul. And he needs some help with his fantasy picks on DraftKings and FanDuel. Anthony, I don't know that I'm going to take a swing and say that is not Paul Savage's area of expertise. The fantasy sports apps daily, DraftKings. But, you know, look. Paul, do you have good daily fantasy picks?
I'm not sure. You know, people have always asked me, do I do fantasy football or fantasy anything? And I say, no, I do real football.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's why I could have scripted that for you, Paul. All right. So Rick says that Bane dominated on the field, doesn't care about arm length. Generally speaking, I agree with that sentiment. Jacob Rodriguez is a player like that. Does he fit the mold? Does he do those things? But he's not. We're not talking about picking him at pick 9. That's where Bane is getting drafted. And so I'm with you. Like, great players are great players. I'm just not sure. I think he's better. Well, I don't think he's better than Reese or Bailey. Is he better than Tyson or Downs or Delane or some of these other names? Rick also does not like Bailey, which he said before, because he's not a run defender. Okay. I think Chris Jones in there gives you a little latitude and a little freedom to do that. I think the Chiefs have needed, Paul, an elite quarterback sacking edge rusher. When was the last time they had a really, really good to elite edge rusher that was disruptive?
Well,
Chris Jones has been, you know, one of the best players of a generation, but he comes up the middle at his strength. They've even tried putting him out there, Paul. Mm-hmm. They spent more money and draft resources on Frank Clark and then Felix Anudike Uzama. And, you know, they've drafted guys high and they've had okay players out there and players that have been moderately productive. But you got to go back a while to say, man, there was that truly elite
you know, offense disrupting edge rusher that's going to put pressure on their quarterback every time. It's been a while. And a lot of the reason for that, Paul, is they never pick high enough. Like, that's a position where talent usually shines through. Like, if you go look at all the elite edge rushers across the NFL, a lot of them were really high draft picks. You know, like, that's just kind of, it's one of those positions. It's like quarterback. It's harder to find them later in a draft.
Mm-hmm. And they look different than Chris Jones, don't they? They don't look like...
Well, it's a different position.
It's a different position. It's a totally different position. And, of course, the way that the way most defenses are, you know, as long as you don't have a defensive end running up past the quarterback, you're going to be okay, and particularly in terms of run. And, of course, let's face it, run is wonderful. We always talk about you got to be able to run the football, and, boy, is that ever a luxury. But in a league like the NFL, the real luxury is being able to throw the ball for about 400 yards a game, and that's the real luxury. And that's what most NFL offenses are going to be involved with, which makes the edge rusher all that more. But the 6'4", you get hands up. The certain thing about 6'4 guys is their wingspan is usually longer than 6'1", 6'2 guys. And, you know, a hands up in the passing lanes is always huge. And if you have ever been around a practice, Jacob, how many times you hear a defensive line coach yell, hands up, hands up, hands up when the ball's released. Get the hands in the passing lanes. And, you know, you get a lot of, you know, passes knocked down. That's the way this position works. There's a reason. There's a reason great teams have great edge rushers. I mean, they just have them. And every great team has got at least one. And by the way, there's such a different body type than a lot of the positions because it's bigger than a linebacker, but it's also a different body type than an offensive lineman or an interior defensive lineman. It's such a different body type the way the game has evolved. And we all understand why, because pressure on the quarterback, you always want the eyes of the quarterback on the pass rush, not the receivers downfield, and that's sort of the key to that, right?
Yeah, and I hate that this has gotten – Reuben Bain was one of my favorite college football players. He was so fun to watch.
Jersey number one? How much do you like that?
And I'll say this again. Like, I'm not sitting here trying to say, oh, I'll be just so disappointed if the Chiefs take Bain at 9. That's not the case at all. If they look at Bain and they see it, I'm fine watching him hopefully become a great player. I just prefer one of the other two guys. That's all I'm saying. I prefer one of the two other guys. And if the Chiefs at all are having, like, if they get to that position and it's like, okay, we've got Downs, and we've got Tyson, and we've got Delane, and we've got Bain, and, you know, not all those guys are going to be there, but let's just say in a vacuum that they are, and you're like, you know, I kind of like these other guys maybe a little more, but Bain's what we really need, and, you know, maybe we evaluate him a little lower, but let's just go ahead and take it. That's what I don't want to see him do. At that point, I think whatever this turns out to be, I hope the Chiefs take what they feel like is the 9th best player on their draft board. Mm-hmm. Or trade up to try to get somebody else a little higher. Or, right, somebody falls and maybe they get lucky and whoever they evaluate as their 5th best player's down there. What I don't want to see him do is say, you know, he might be our 15th best player on our board, but we kind of need that, so let's just go ahead and take him there. That's what I don't want to see him do.
By the way, let me just throw out one scenario. Now, this is crazy. You know, if you don't want to even discuss this, it's okay with me. It's just one of those little things. You remember about a month and a half ago, you and I were doing a show, and we were talking about the pick that the Chiefs might make at number 9. And we had been talking about how much love Jeremiah Love was getting. Remember that? I don't know if you remember that or not.
Yeah.
But we were talking about that. You know, Jeremiah Love, I mean, could he fall to 9? If he fell to 9, no. Would you take – Well, he's not going
to
fall.
They signed Kenneth Walker to a massive deal. This came up the other day. You signed Kenneth Walker to a big contract. If Jeremiah Love fell to 9, do you just find a way to use them both?
Boy, I'll tell
you. You know, like I wonder about that. I just can't see it, Paul. He might be the best player in this draft. it is really hard for me to imagine.
Oh God!
That we get to the point where he falls. That means nobody's traded up to get him. That means he has fallen past a couple of teams who could use him desperately.
Trading up for him is out of the Commanders.
And the Cardinals. I'm not convinced the Cardinals don't just take him at three. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. If the Chiefs thought there was any world that might happen, I don't think they'd have taken Kenneth Walker.
Well, then I'm assuming that. So then you're saying that there's no chance in hell that the Chiefs are going to trade up to take Jeremiah Love.
No, oh no, for sure not.
No
chance after Walker.
Probably.
I mean,
not.
They paid Walker. He's getting top money.
All right.
Walker's making big money.
Well, but so Jeremiah Love's getting a lot of love. I mean, there's no question about that. I mean,
he's awesome.
He is awesome. They're not going to trade up
to get him.
Okay, well, I was just saying it wasn't that long ago. Boy, there was a lot of talk that he was.
Well, right, but that was probably before they took Kenneth Walker. Now, had they not made the decision to take Kenneth Walker,
all right, good point.
Then I would be pretty inclined to try it. But you know, when you've invested that much in a running back already, now I do think they need to walk out of this draft. Probably, well, I don't know what they need to do at that position. They need to, you know, because you can go free agency at that point. It's an interesting draft because they do have so many needs. Like, they're going to have to draft well this year if they want a chance to win a Super Bowl. I think if they want a chance to win a Super Bowl, they're going to need probably three or four players out of this draft to be starters.
Right.
Because they just have holes to fill.
Right. Well, that's what most NFL teams are looking for. They're not looking for just guys.
But there are NFL teams where that doesn't need to happen.
I don't think for them to
win a title. And for a lot of years, Paul, that's been the Chiefs. They've missed on a lot of early picks, and it hasn't really affected them. But, you know, the collection of that happening kind of catches up with you a little bit, right? Like you're running out of players. And or you've hit on a great pick, and now they end up costing you a lot of money. Is Paul Savage disappointed if the Chiefs sit here and take a right tackle?
Well, it's not what I would do. You can get those guys in other ways, if you know what I mean. And there are some good ones out there that, you know, I would think that are there for the taking if you just make that deal. No, I'm looking for guys that can break games wide open for me in one way or the other. A sack in the right place is one of those deals. A knockdown pass or a pick is another one of those deals for cornerbacks. You know, that offensive receiver that can run a fade, and he's either going to get the DB's either going to get called for pass interference, or he's going to make the catch. One of those two things is going to happen. Those are the kind of guys that you're looking for in the first round. You're looking for guys that can come in and make a difference right off the get-go, and that's the way it's got to be. And I think edge is probably where that is at this point right now. At least that's what I think. I could be totally wrong. Time will tell. But that's what the Chiefs have to do. That guy that makes a difference starting game one.
Yeah, I think at nine you got to have that too. They're
got to have it.
You know, you want to trust Spags to get it figured out, but they've got some needs back there. I think they need to find a starting corner. I think they need a pass rusher of some sort. I mean, you're going to need three guys on that defense. And listen, this happens all the time. Like, teams do this. The Chiefs did it. The Chiefs have done this before. They've put together a draft where they retooled the defense. Bing, bang, boom, here we go. So it can be done, and they just happen to have the draft capital to get it done because they didn't have a good year last year. But they didn't have a good year last year for a reason, Paul, and they've got to get younger and more talented. This is another year right now where you're looking at it and you're like, okay, what's the hope of this season? Well, you got Travis Kelce back. Chris Jones is still here. And Patrick Mahomes is coming off an ACL injury. We've heard, you know, that we've last year it was kind of that, right? We were going to do this. Now that, you know, if Josh Simmons is fine and we think he's fine, the offensive line looks a little better. They invested in running back. I think it'll look a little different for the Chiefs this year. And man, I'd love to see him lean all the way into that and just really try to get some real playmakers on defense. And then we say all of that, Paul. And wide receivers sitting there. And you love the receivers. And it doesn't really fit probably what you think the direction they're headed is. But if you look a little bit down the road into the future, you know you're going to need one. And one of these two elite receivers is sitting there. I think that's an option too for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yep.
What a wild and interesting draft. I want to get Paul's thoughts on Fernando Mendoza. We'll get more into the Royals game last night as well in the next hour. And Paul'd like to talk a little NBA playoffs, and we'll do it. We'll have more Sports Daily. Don't go away.
This is 97.5 and 1240 KFH, Wichita. K248CY, Wichita. KNSS HD2, Clearwater. And Odyssey Sports Station.
From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, don't worry about me, I called ART.
Traffic.
There are no major incidents, but I-235 South is slow heading onto K-96 eastbound. From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey Wichita traffic.
Weather. It's a control C, control V, or in other words, copy and paste forecast today. Mostly sunny, breezy, and warm again. A high of 78, south winds 15 to 25 and gusty. Increasing clouds, south winds, and upper 50s tonight. Mostly cloudy skies, clearing late tomorrow. A high of 75, continued breezy. Mostly cloudy, warmer on Thursday. Highs in the low 80s with evening thunderstorms. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Go! 97.5 and 1240 KFH and thousands more, plus millions of podcasts, are all on the free Odyssey app. 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Please hang on. Please. This is an official interruption of your local entertainment transmission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Good morning. This is your wake-up call.
Well, good morning, everybody. That last little part there makes me a little uncomfortable. I'm not sure where that came from. I'm not sure where Max dug that one up from. What is that?
It's Lita Ford.
Okay, what is that? Is it something from the last 40 years?
Lita Ford. It's from Stiletto, her album Stiletto. I forget what song it.
What decade?
91?
91, okay.
All-female rock band The Runaways in the 1970s?
No, she had solo. Oh, my God. Quick, go back, listen to Bruno Mars.
Hey,
Bruno Mars. What does Bruno Mars have anything to do with it?
No, you like the note.
I'm trying
talents.
To find. Max. I mean, come on. I'm getting up there in years, but you can't get annoyed if I'm not catching a 70s reference.
That's not a 91. Her album Stiletto is 91. I forget the song that came off of.
I'm a big music guy. Lita Ford. We need to take an informal listener poll.
I think
Lita. How many people out there? Are Lita Ford people 1990?
Well,
is Stiletto.
I think
the song.
Part of it is you're from West Texas too. I think that's a big part of your not knowing.
Paul, you know, you listen to a lot of Lita Ford.
I've never heard of her until just now.
Exactly. Thank you. That's
Paul. You know the Mills right. Brothers?
Of course,
see
I know
that?
The Mills Brothers.
I know the Mills Brothers. That was way before my time.
Yeah.
What are we doing? What is happening right now?
I don't know. Max is
just going to name random bands and see if
football. Well, you asked Paul if he knew Lita Ford. There's no way, Paul. How old were you in 76?
76. Let's see. I'd have been 20.
And you didn't see? You didn't know the Runaways?
No.
Oh my God. Joan Jett, Lita Ford.
Well, of course, Joan Jett.
Cherie Curry.
We all know. You know. We all know Joan Jett.
All right. Anyway, it's just a curiosity.
It's just it was on some. I forget the song. It's off of Stiletto.
But I'll guarantee
I don't
you.
Know, 1990. The song Stiletto was out. I just found that from Lita Ford.
I guarantee you, Jacob knows who.
I'm a music.
Klein
I'm a music guy
Hungry
too.
Was
I don't
the
think
big
I know
hit.
Any Lita Ford.
Hungry was the big hit off that. And I want to
now as I accidentally looked at that, the members of that band, I'd want to go check out the Runaways. I might know some Runaways.
Do you know who Patsy Cline is?
I can tell you this too. I know, and this is Max. You're good at this. I'm not. I love, my kids ask me all the time, what's your favorite kind of music? I'm like, guys, I listen to everything, new, old, whatever. I love a lot of music, but I have never been the guy to go tell you like of a band that I like who their bass guitarist is. Like, I don't know I know bands, but not the names generally of the members of the bands, if that makes any sense. Anywho, we got a lot to talk about here today. We'll get into that. I've been putting off the Royals to really dig in. We'll do that this hour. God, that was an annoying game.
Oh,
last
boy.
Night. Again,
I can't
here
wait.
We go. Like, what is rock bottom with this team? My goodness. We'll get into that. I want to hit on Fernando Mendoza not going to Pittsburgh for the NFL draft and see what we think of that. It's interesting. We don't see this a lot. And really just, what do we think of him as a prospect? I want to dig into that because it's a quarterback lacking draft. There's no doubt about that. But he's a guy. He's going to go number one overall. Also, then Paul wants to talk a little about the NBA playoffs. LeBron James taking another swing at it with the Lakers. What is his legacy? It's interesting, too, as we look at that. And this is, you've got young stars continuing to elevate and do these things in the league. And LeBron James is probably the top topic still on people's minds. Who is going to be the player that takes that from him? You know, that we just can't. We have to always talk about X. Steph Curry did it for a while. LeBron was earlier and LeBron's after. It's crazy how long this has lasted for LeBron James. We'll get into that a little bit later in the show, too. It's all, by the way, What's on Tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, now featuring Caddy Snack, Wichita's golf beer. Caddy Snack Blonde Ale, refreshingly crushable, makes perfect pairing from the first tee to the 19th hole, no matter the score. Caddy Snack reminds you to beer the ball. Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer made here. All right, Paul, let's go to this Royals loss last night a little bit. It was awful. Bases loaded. Nobody out, bases loaded, all the opportunities they had, all the runners they left on base, they cannot find a way to not lose right now. It is wild to see all the different ways they're finding to lose games. Seth Lugo was brilliant last night. Nothing. The fact that they got to the ninth inning of last night's game, Paul, only up 1-0, blows my mind. I was sitting there and I think it was, we were about 2.5 hours into the game going into the ninth. And I was like, how is this game taking 2.5 hours? It is 1-0. And then you think back to all the traffic and Bradish, the pitcher for the Orioles, was struggling. Like he just did not have it and kept finding ways to escape. And then we've got players trying, you've got a pitcher, Paul, who can't get anybody out, and you've got runners and you're bunting in the sixth inning. And I am not an anti-bunt guy. In fact, I'm a pro-bunt guy, you know, in some situations. But you're taking a guy like Kyle Isbell, who has been as consistent a hitter as they've had this year, and in at least two situations, was it three, you've got him bunting? Like, I think I'm really starting to question management here, Paul. And I think the players are too. And I think that's why you saw Salvi over the weekend push back a little bit on social media, which is something he would never do. I think they're kind of losing the locker room here. I think this is spiraling a little bit out of control. And it is April 21st for a team expected to win more than half its games this year. They were predicted to be over 500 by Vegas. Everybody likes the roster. Everybody likes it on paper. And you look at it right now, 7-16, they got to win all their games for a week and a half just to get to 500. What can you do at this point?
Well, that is the question that if I had the answer to, I'd be making $6 million this year managing the Royals. But here's the one thing that's distressing is how many, in the last few innings of this baseball game, how many runs did the Royals leave on the bases?
Paul, just in the last few innings, the entire game.
Well, it was so many. And you're basically 1-1 going into the ninth and you leave all these base runners on, that's the thing that's frustrating, because the opportunity is there. The opportunity is being squandered game after game after game. At least that's the way it would appear to most fans. And what do you do to change that? Quite frankly, at this point, I agree with you, that there's the chance that the locker room is being lost as we speak. And with that being said, therein lies the problem. What do you do? I don't know what you do, because it's obvious management, and when I say management, I'm talking about the coaching staff, is still, they're wondering themselves. I mean, how do you squander so many players on base and leaving them on base after the final out of the inning? It's just nuts. And it's the thing that's frustrating. And it's the thing that is going to make this clubhouse, well, I think maybe rebel a little bit. And we might start being seen that right now. I mean, here in the next little short period of time. That's a possibility, Jacob.
I don't know. It's hard. It's so hard in baseball when it's just like the bottom's falling out like this, because you do play it every day and they're finding different ways every day to lose them. You know, they'll get out there and do it again tonight, but I just don't know. It feels like at some point, and last night felt like the game where it was going to happen, because it was just staring at you in the face. You had Lugo on the mound. You kept loading the bases early in the game, that the top's just going to explode and they're going to get hot and they're going to be good. But it ain't happening.
One base hit.
Well, they got one in extra innings, but they were already down five runs.
Well, no, that's right. Like, that's not what I'm talking about there. How many times would one run have won or one
how
hit?
How many times do we need to see Vinny Pasquantino come up short in those situations just to slide him down in the lineup a little bit? Right? Is that so difficult?
Good question, I guess.
Just to say, you know what, Vinny? You're struggling a little bit right now. We're gonna move you down to six or seven spot while you get that figured out. Mm-hmm. We're gonna let one of these other guys, they got your back. Right. We're gonna slide them up. They're seeing the ball a little better right now. And by the way, a good manager does not have to explain anything. He just says, hey, you're hitting seven hole today.
Yeah.
Get over it.
Yeah.
You know what you can do to get back up in the three hole? Hit the ball.
Yeah. Well, how about not bat one, 149? I mean, how about getting up to about what, 290?
How about doing something productive at the plate? They had situations, and look, he's not the only reason. This isn't all on Vinny Pasquantino. He just came up short too many times last night. But doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again is clearly not working. Let's try something different.
Yeah.
Let's not give a struggling pitcher in the sixth inning easy outs by trying to bunt. Like, what on earth are we doing? Hit the ball. Royals will go back at it tonight. When we come back, more on the NFL draft. It's all Brockton Savage. Stick around.
This is Sports Radio KFH.
From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, don't worry about me. I called ART.
Traffic. 235 South is very heavy heading onto K96. Expect delays approaching 37th Street. From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey Wichita traffic.
Weather.
It's a Control-C, Control-V, or in other words, copy and paste forecast today. Mostly sunny, breezy, and warm again. A high of 78, south winds 15 to 25, and gusty. Increasing clouds, south winds, and upper 50s tonight. Mostly cloudy skies, clearing late tomorrow. A high of 75, continued breezy. Mostly cloudy, warmer on Thursday. Highs in the low 80s with evening thunderstorms. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Don't risk losing the trusted news, traffic, sports, and weather you get from AM radio stations. It's time to make your voice heard. We need Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars. When internet and cell services are out, AM could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 39179 and tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. you may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Odyssey Sports Draft coverage is presented nationally by Bet365, where winning is everything. Download the Bet365 app and lock in your picks before the game begins. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in select states only. And by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need.
Oh, okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Glad to have you here with us on a Tuesday. Hey, you want to win some HTO? You can do it right now. Text the keyword T to the short code 20357 and get yourself a free cup of tea at either East Wichita, West Wichita, or in Derby. We've got the new Sweet Paloma tea at the two Wichita locations. You can show off your East Side or West Side pride. We just rolled out two new mixes, one out East, simply the East Side, one out West, the West Side. There are two unique flavors to each one, and you can go try them. Try both. Paul, do you, you go into HTO and let us know which one you like the most.
Okay,
which,
I'll do that.
Which side are you? Are you East Side or are you West Side? Which side do you claim?
Well, for the longest time, I was a West Sider because there was no East Side, and, you know, we make special trips. I mean, there's a long way to go. I live pretty far east.
No, I mean in general. I mean in general.
Oh, in life. Well, East Side, because there's a lot of times I'm out at, you know, Cabela's or there's a lot of activity on Greenwich. So whenever I'm out there, and particularly Joe Rocco and I, we used to go whenever we were out in that area. Joe always wanted to go by and, you know, and get some tea he loved the peach. There was a peach. You have a peach something. But anyway, that was the tea he always enjoyed. We'd go every time we were out there. Guess where we'd go? You got it. HTO.
Heck yeah. Well, we appreciate it. I just didn't know if I didn't know, you know, when you first moved, when I first moved here, coming up on, 12 years ago.
No pretty quick. Way.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Wow.
This first thing anybody asked you, East Side or West Side? And when I first was asked that question, I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Like, what do you mean East Side or West Side? I don't know. Well, I remember when we moved here, we didn't know where we were. I think technically, well, I guess we would have been, when we first moved here, we'd have been close to South Side, but because we were south of Kellogg, but just south of Kellogg. I don't know what we would have qualified as, but it's funny. We're just like, what are you crazy people talking about? Now I'm so into it too. I'm like, hey, which side do you claim? East Side or West Side? Like, what do you do? I think it's a fun rivalry. So that was the intent, is to lean into that fun rivalry a little bit at HTO. So go try the East Side and the West Side. Tell us what you think. They're both really good, by the way. Those creations came. We just asked the staff. It was like, hey, you know, staff, like, what do you see customers making, or what do you guys make when you're working and they get a free cup when they're working? Like, what are you mixing together? Like, what's your favorite? That's how those two flavors were born. So they're kind of staff inspired, which is kind of fun. All right, Paul, let's talk more about the NFL draft. We've really discussed the Chiefs a lot over the last 2 weeks on this. We haven't really talked a lot about Fernando Mendoza. There have been drafts like this where the first pick, it's, you know, you don't have that headline quarterback that jumps off the screen at you. What do you, just generally speaking, what do you think of Mendoza as a prospect?
Well, I think he's a great prospect. Would I put him up with a lot of the other prospects that have come through? Let's say, how about, you know, maybe a Caleb Williams, maybe a Bo Nix or a Drake May, or somebody.
Where would you have liked him up against that class, which has been just littered with great quarterbacks?
I think he would have probably been in the bottom third. I think
of the first round guys,
right, maybe so. But would he have been in the first round? Yeah, I think he probably would have been. I mean, he had a lot of success, and it's obvious he's a leader. That team looked to him. He was their de facto coach on the field. So there's a lot of great things to say about him. You know, he threw a good ball. You know, but he also had pretty good protection, so it made it a lot easier for him to shine and show his stuff. And he was able to do that. But am I bullish on him? Yeah. I think at this point, why wouldn't I think he could be a very successful, you know,
do
NFL
you think
quarterback?
In 6 years, he's going to be the quarterback of the Raiders.
How many years?
Six.
Golly, I think it's going to be before that. For all I know.
No. I mean, do you think he? I guess I'm just asking. Like, is he their quarterback of the future 6 years from now?
Oh, I see. The
talking
question.
About Fernando Mendoza is just, you know, the quarterback of the Raiders. What's his ceiling?
I think so, but here's the caveat: can you protect him? Can you keep him, you know, upright?
You better believe it.
Can you keep him in the pocket? Does he have to pop out of the pocket and survive? And you know, does he have to operate out in space when he doesn't want to? Those are the questions that I'd be able to really answer for you if I knew what the answer to that was. So a lot of it's going to be on protection. That is so huge for a young quarterback. If you can get protection and have the ability to look downfield, then you're going to be just fine. But if you're looking, you know, your peripheral vision is out to that edge, who's coming this side? Who's coming that side? What's the situation in the middle? Do I have to step up into the pocket to avoid the pass rush on the edge? What am I get? Is somebody getting push in the middle where I can't step up? So, you know, if you have those thoughts running through your mind as a quarterback at this level, then you've got a quarterback that's going to be ineffective. But a lot of that won't be his fault. That'll be, you know, offensive coordinator, you know, offensive line, a running back that can sit in the pocket and help protect, those kind of things. So those have to come into consideration as well, if you know what I mean.
I do. And that was their problem last year. You know, we saw him take Ashton Jeanty, and he just never had a chance because their offensive line was so, so bad.
That's right.
Well, I'm with you on that.
Tom Brady would have not that much more. Do you think Tom Brady would take the Raiders in the last couple of years and take them to a Super Bowl? I don't think so.
It's a funny name you bring up, Tom Brady, as he is part owner of the Raiders.
Well,
I Mendoza's an interesting guy. He is all football, right? All football. He's not into the flash, the glitz, the glam. He's not going to the first round, Paul. He's not going to the draft. He's going to be in, I think, Miami with his family.
Does that make you suspicious, gathering. Jacob?
What's that,
Max? I asked Paul this. Does that make you suspicious that he's not going? Do you think you could pull an Elway or an Eli? Maybe he doesn't want to go to
Las
Vegas.
And not go to the Raiders?
Yeah.
No. I don't think, no. He'll go to the Raiders. I just don't think he doesn't profile the way. And I don't have any problem with this. In fact, it maybe makes me like him more. But it is interesting. I cannot imagine the league is thrilled that Fernando Mendoza doesn't want to go to the draft in Pittsburgh. Now, I think I get it. Like, I'd probably rather watch at a big family party than go walk the stage and give Roger Goodell a hug. But when you're talking about the first pick of the draft, there's a lot of optics involved there, Paul. Does it make you wonder? And Max, I don't think it has anything to do with, does he want to go to the Raiders? I think he's fine with that. What it makes me wonder is, does he like the spotlight? Is he okay with the spotlight? Because when you're going to be the number one pick in the NFL draft, you're going to get the spotlight. Now, Indiana was very good. They won a national championship. They did all those things. He simply might just say, man, I'd rather hang out with my family than a bunch of dudes I don't know. It's interesting, though. It is interesting.
Well,
he said, I saw him do his interview circuit yesterday, and he was like, I can bring like 12 people to Pittsburgh. I got a big family. I want to be with all of them. And I get that. I wouldn't disagree with that, right? Uh-huh. I would probably feel the same way. But I still don't know if I'd say, sorry, NFL, I'm not going to be there at one of your biggest days of the year when I'm going to be the number one overall pick.
Well, let me be truthful. I kind of like it. I mean, here's a young man who knows where he needs to be. And if he can't get all of his family members to where they need to be, and maybe he's got family members that can't travel, he says, you know something? My family's more important than some optics with the draft. I'm going to get enough attention as it is being a number one pick, particularly going to a place of flash, by the way. You want to talk about flash? Vegas is it. And I don't need to go there right now. I'll have plenty of time in Las Vegas to do my thing and be around the flash and the press and all that. You know, it's kind of important to me that I have family members where I need to be. Some may not be able to travel. I'm going to go be with them. Jacob, I kind of like it. I kind of respect it. Not only, well, it's not I kind of respect it. I do respect it. You know something? I get it. I understand it. I know you understand it. If it was you, and that was a decision you had to make, I get you as well. I know you well enough to know that would be a decision you just might make. But I kind of like it. If you want to know the truth, you know, the flash and all that stuff of the NFL draft gets to you anyway. And by the way, by the time the first round's over and you've made your appearance and all that, it's over. They'll have an occasional flash to you while you're there and that kind of thing, an occasional interview. But, man, you know, the night's over for you. One pick in, and it's we got other things to take care of. And it'll be other young men's time to have fun. I get it. I kind of like it.
Okay. I don't dislike it either. I don't dislike it. It's just surprising is all, right? Just a little surprising, to be perfectly honest with you, that he's willing to and able to make a decision like this.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting is all. I it's surprising is all. And the only thing, because I kind of like it too. I don't like it or dislike it as far as he can make whatever decision he wants. But it's just like, can he handle what's coming with the spotlight of that pick?
Oh, you know what I mean? He doesn't have a clue yet, but he will. I mean, he'll, you know,
like,
maybe.
Can you handle, and I heard him say to somebody, because he did an interview circuit yesterday, you know, he's like, I'll welcome in any cameras that the draft wants to bring in or whatever will be the most accommodating. It really is, I just want to hang with my family. Then, okay, like, all right. Fine. Okay. I just wonder. He's quiet-natured, right, a little bit. Is he going to be okay with the spotlight of being in the number one? Because they're not going to be very good. You know, they're not a great team out there in Vegas right now. I'll tell you, though, the way that the Raiders are going about this, I do think they're doing it the right way. They have to help the line. But man, they bring it in Kirk Cousins. I love that, Paul. We haven't talked about that on this show, I don't think. They're bringing in Kirk Cousins looks like Fernando Mendoza. Put them side by side. Like, they look alike. Their personalities are kind of similar. I think that was one of the smarter moves of the offseason. Now, if you're the Raiders can get Mendoza in there, because I don't think the line's going to be very good out of the gates. They don't have a lot of talented pass catchers. They did get Ginty. If the Raiders can really be patient and, let's say, hold off for the first 6 to 8 weeks of the season with Mendoza, I don't know if they'll be able to go the way the Chiefs did with Mahomes, but with Kirk Cousins, maybe they can. You know, Alex Smith was a really good quarterback. It was easier to sit on Mahomes because Smith is good. If Cousins can reclaim some of it and you have no pressure to play Mendoza early in this season, I think it could work. I don't love Mendoza as a prospect. I don't dislike him as a prospect. I wouldn't have taken him over Jaden Daniels. I wouldn't have taken him over Caleb Williams for sure. Who am I forgetting? I would have taken him right there. He would have been around where Bo Nix was for me. You know, J.J. McCarthy. So maybe, Drake May was intriguing enough.
Okay.
I'm not sure I would have taken him over May. But May was, May we didn't know a lot about, but he was such an athlete that it's like, okay. Yeah, so maybe fourth, maybe somewhere around where McCarthy went, I guess. I don't know who. I probably would have leaned McCarthy, which looks like it's going to be the wrong answer on that. But I like what the Raiders are doing. You bring in Cousins. You let Cousins sit there with him. These two seem like they're wired kind of the same way. This won't be like when Cousins got paired with Penix. You know, Cousins got the rug pulled out from underneath him on the Penix deal, signed for this huge contract, and then they go draft a quarterback in the top 15 or whatever it was. Like, wait, what? He's going to the Raiders, Paul, and he knows Mendoza's the future, right? You're Kirk Cousins, and you make that call. They're taking Mendoza number one. You know it's going to happen.
That's right.
So I do like that for him. What about Ty Simpson?
Well,
about the next quarterback on everybody's list? Is this as bad a quarterback class as we've seen? I don't know when the last time we saw one. The year maybe Kenny Pickett, oddly, that we're in Pittsburgh. Like, we've seen some quarterback classes where you're like, eek, is this one of those, or do you think Simpson and Mendoza have a chance to be good? You said Mendoza, yes. What do you think about Simpson
for Alabama? I really am not sure. That's a very good question. I mean, he certainly doesn't get much press. We certainly don't know a lot about, you know, what's going on with him. We certainly don't know where he's going to get drafted or by who. And who you're drafted by is has a lot to do with how much success you may or may not have. But this is a very unique class because there are just very few quarterback, you know, really quality type prospects. And that's an interesting thing about this. But I have no idea. I have no idea about Simpson. I do not know. You know, I don't know. Do you have a feel for it?
No, I think he's probably a little, I'd be totally fine taking a risk on him if I was a team.
Well, there's not enough quarterbacks. Somebody will take a risk on him.
That's what I mean. Like, I think he's intriguing enough to say, yeah, I could take him in the, you know, late first, maybe second round as a prospect and a project. And
well, I don't know about the first.
I don't think, but I'll tell you.
I don't know about that.
Watching him, like, I'm not seeing. It depends on what I have and what I need. Like, if I've got an older. See, that's the thing. I kind of like him if you can get him as no pressure to step in and start right away and just see. But that you can't do that if you're taking him, you know, in the first round. But I'm trying to think of a good example of a team that would be. Like, if the Cowboys took him in the second round and he didn't play for a year or two, kind of the Jordan Love thing, I'd probably be okay with that. But taking him to step in and be your starter right away, I'm not sure. How about the Steelers? By the way, Paul, the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? They're hosting the draft this year. We don't know who their quarterback's going to be next year. They're in the same limbo they continue to be in. They hadn't had a quarterback in what feels like forever. They pick at 21. Ty Simpson an option for them?
Well, you know something that does sort of make sense?
I mean, I think you're overdrafting him at that point. But at some point, the Steelers have to find a long-term answer at quarterback.
You know, here again, there's the problem with the Steelers is that there's the good possibility that they're going to take an edge player. That's there's an excellent possibility. There's so many edge players that I can almost make that statement about a lot of teams.
Well, you get some of the other names we mentioned kind of falling down into that territory. They need a lot. The Steelers need a lot. You know, they're making their change. It's not Tomlin anymore. So, for 20 years, we've seen the Steelers follow a philosophy. It ain't Mike Tomlin anymore.
That's for sure.
What's the philosophy going to be now this year?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And I think with regards to the Steelers taking a quarterback, it's probably going to be you need some experience at quarterback. Steelers have it. They have it already on the roster. Yeah, I'll be a little surprised if the Steelers would take. There's so many good players still in this first round.
You want to see Rodgers again for them?
Well, that is a good question.
Is it not juicy? It's almost too juicy for a McCarthy-Rodgers reunion. I kind of want it to happen.
That's a good question. That is a good question. That is a good question.
I kind of want it to happen. I don't think it's going to, but Mike McCarthy's the coach now.
No.
Can we get Rodgers McCarthy just for a little drama there?
I think it could be interesting.
I'm not going to be surprised if the Steelers don't take quarterback here.
There you go.
But I'd take that storyline. I'd take that drama. Can we get Rodgers, a young quarterback to push him, and Mike McCarthy all in the same place?
Gotcha.
I was a Mike Tomlin guy. I really enjoyed Mike Tomlin. I, as a rule, don't really like the Steelers. And now it's like, it could all blow up, and I think it'd be entertaining. As a fan, I have no problem with the Steelers. I have a lot of respect for the Steelers organization. But, you know, they're one of those teams that challenges and wins a bunch of Super Bowls. So, you know, they're a little bit of a bad guy, I'd say, in the NFL a little bit. They certainly are if Rodgers is back there. All right. LeBron James, is he a bad guy? Is he a good guy in this year's NBA playoffs? We'll ask Paul next. He's got some thoughts as we get the NBA underway.
This is Sports Radio KFH.
From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, don't worry about me, I called ART.
Traffic.
Watch for slow traffic on I-235 South heading on to K-96. The delays start as you approach 37th Street. From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey Wichita traffic.
Weather.
It's a Control-C, Control-V, or in other words, copy and paste forecast today. Mostly sunny, breezy, and warm again. A high of 78, south winds 15 to 25 and gusty. Increasing clouds, south winds, and upper 50s tonight. Mostly cloudy skies, clearing late tomorrow. A high of 75, continued breezy. Mostly cloudy, warmer on Thursday. Highs in the low 80s with evening thunderstorms. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
More than 200 members of Congress are standing up for AM radio listeners. The AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act will keep AM radio in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 39179. Tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
You'll use the radio in your car more than anything else. When buying a new car, make sure the AM/FM is simple, clear, and convenient.
Furnished by NAB and this station.
Dude, you gotta hear this. Hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We are glad to be with you here. It is a Tuesday. It's Jake Ballbrock. It's Paul Savage, Max Power producing. Paul, NBA playoffs are here. Now, this is something you're following a little closer than myself, than TJ typically does. We've been so caught up, if we're talking basketball, in the transfer portal and what's happening there, that the NBA is just kind of sneaking up on us a little bit. I was looking at the you know, the rounds and everything, and trying to see like where will I be ready to jump in, and it's probably for me going to be, I think, the next round. But you texted me before the show and said you definitely want to talk LeBron James. The Lakers get a win in the series opener against the Rockets. You know, they're not at 100%, but they find a way to get the win anyway. LeBron goes for 19, 8, and 13, Paul. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're the historian for Sports Daily. You've got, you know, you're dabble in museums and Hall of Fames. How do you quantify what LeBron's still able to do on the court at what now, 42 years old, 41 years old?
Mm-hmm. Amazing, isn't it? And part of the thing about LeBron is that every time he makes a free throw, every time he makes a field goal, every time he makes a three, Jacob, the record book is changed. You know, every time he scores, you got to change the record book, don't you? We don't see that happen very often in a lifetime. You know, this is amazing. We're in uncharted territory. Will he come back next year? I don't know. People say he's not going to. But, you know, he's still running the floor. It looks like to me he's having fun. And I'm not sure why he wouldn't want to if he's still playing as well as he is now. But you're right. You look across, you know, 38 minutes in that game. He still played 38 minutes. 19 points. Come on, that's 9 for 15 from field goals. I mean, you know, well over 50% shooting. 1 for 2 from 3, that's 50, you know, that's 33%. That's not bad at all. Well, no, that's 50%. And I'm just telling you, it's a fascinating story. The Lakers weren't supposed to roll very good. They were a 5 seed. I believe a 5 seed going against a 4
5 versus 4.
5 versus 4. And Rockets, now I admit, no Kevin Durant. That's a problem. By the way, just if you're interested, Kevin Durant is game time decision, so we don't know if he's going to play. He's got a problem.
And that game is tonight.
It's a knee deal. We all know how that happens. Wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't play. But anyway, I just find this particular series interesting because, let's face it, as much as 30 to 35, 40 days ago, it wasn't that long, a month and a half ago at the most, people were talking about the Lakers weren't going to make the playoffs, weren't they? You know, that's how this team was.
Yeah, I have the hardest time. Like, I don't know how to – we're going to look back – and this is going to be something that right now, the problem with LeBron is all the people watching him, for the most part, you've got Michael Jordan there, like in his prime. Now it's this next generation of players. So for like the young guys, you're looking at him as like an antique. Where do you, like, what is the most fair comparison of legacy for him? Is it Jordan? Or now that we're seeing the longevity, do you go to some of the other guys who, you know, might be in the historical nature of like total points scored and all of that stuff? Like, how do you define what it's been? They're not going to win the championship this year. I'd be surprised and quite frankly stunned if LeBron ever gets another ring or something like that.
Right.
I mean, he'd have to play again and probably just go hop on somebody. But when we look at the, like, there, that Lakers team's not beating,
right?
And I say that not watching it a ton, but they don't have enough horses to keep up with the Thunder, for instance.
No,
and I'd love to see him play a team like the Spurs if they could, because he's going to see Wimby.
Yeah, but. Well, and boy, how much fun is Victor Wembanyama to watch? But by the way, and obviously with the Lakers, one of the big factors is, would they be able to make a run if Luka was still playing, or how about Austin Reeves? What about him? You lose those two guys, and you still win the first round, a game you're not supposed to win. You know, I don't know. This is just one of those deals. This could be one of those moments in history. So normally I would never root for the Lakers. You know, it's just, you know, not my deal. But this is an interesting situation. And particularly with LeBron James and the fact that he is still kicking, playing well, 19 points, 13 assists, huge, and you know, win a game that really nobody thought they could win. And, I mean, I'm not going to say they're even going to get out of this.
They're underdogs again tonight. Not huge, but, you know, like plus 168 on the money line, plus 4.5.
Yeah, 4.5 was the last I saw. It's a pretty tight,
but they're at home, right?
They're at home. But anyway, with that being said, I find this series really interesting. But there's a number of the playoffs that I think are fascinating if you just delve into it. And, you know, I take a look at the Hawks and the Knicks. I find that one fascinating.
Are you betting? Who's your pick? Are you betting the Thunder again?
Well, I'll tell you what. How do you go against them? I mean, I got the Thunder, but I mean, I know that's a no-brainer. I'm not taking a chance, but they're awfully good. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say the Spurs may have something to say about that. If I wasn't going to take the Thunder, I'd take the Spurs because, man, oh, man, I'll tell you, I remember when Wemby came into this league and he looked uncoordinated. He didn't look like he was ready for prime time. And that was 2 or 3 years ago. And now you look at him. This is a man. This is a real man. He's grown up. Well, he's 22 now. When he came into the league, he was a teenager. Came into this league. He still had those awkward moves and that kind of thing. He wasn't as athletic as he's become. What he's done is he's grown up. He's matured. He's grown in the way that mature adults become, and he's so much fun to watch. He is so much fun to watch. He could end up being that guy that changes this league for years and years and years. He could be the next Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, if you want to know the truth. Maybe even better than that. He could score. He can defend. By the way, he was just named, I think, in the last couple of days, NBA Defensive Player of the Year, and I think rightfully so. He changes defenses down in the paint. So this is a fun series. But right now, obviously, I think this is going to be won probably in the semifinals between Oklahoma City and
San Antonio.
Yeah,
San Antonio. Nobody in the East. Nobody in the East threatening for you?
Who?
Boston.
Who? No?
Boston.
No? No? I mean, are they good? Yeah, they're okay. They're good. But nobody is at that level of the Spurs, and nobody's at that level for Oklahoma City.
Yeah, the Pistons.
That's my opinion.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that. And again, that's just I am so locked in now these days to college basketball and so much less than I used to be. I do want to watch Wimby in a series, so I'm looking forward to the series advancing. Thunder Spurs, I think, would be a blast. So I'd be pretty locked in on that. I want to see, you know, Detroit. I think, you know, Paolo Banchero and Cade Cunningham in an 8-1 matchup. I kind of want to watch a game of that. I saw bits and pieces of that. Was that Sunday night?
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. The NBA, have you watched a lot of NBA regular season? Because that's another storyline that's out there, is that the NBA is just not popular anymore. I mean, I don't watch a ton of it, but I will say the load management thing drives me absolutely up the wall and keeps me from it a little bit. But the thing that keeps me from it is college basketball.
That's right.
I mean, that's it. But I get the impression you're still watching a pretty good deal.
Well, I do not watch it during college basketball. If I have a choice between NBA and college basketball, for me, college basketball is going to get it, particularly if there's a Big 12 team on, particularly right. If Wichita State or KU or K-State, someone else like that's playing, then, of course, it's all different. I don't get into the NBA till usually after the March Madness is over, because that's when basketball starts getting serious. And right now this is as serious as it gets. You win or you don't play on, and that's the way this works. So yeah, I start watching once the NBA or once the NCAA tournament's over. Then I really kind of watch it a little more. I enjoy the athleticism. And basketball becomes more serious, you know, when you get closer to the playoffs. And then the playoffs, everything, you know, is on the table. Everybody wants to win those games. So, yeah, I guess for the average guy, I pay attention more than most. But I also get a lot of updates and that kind of thing. I follow it, even if I can't watch it. But, yeah, I enjoy it. And it's going to be Spurs, and it's going to be Spurs and Thunder in the semifinals.
Lock it in. You're there.
Lock it in.
We'll see.
I mean, who else could you make a case
in a little bit next week? It'll be good timing. You're in a few times next week to kind of follow along a little bit.
Yeah, there
in
you
NBA
go.
Playoffs. I'll be meanwhile pulling my hair out with the Kansas City Royals while you're doing that.
Yeah, there you go.
You'll be having a better time.
Yeah, the NBA playoffs are more entertaining than the Royals. Can I say that?
Yes, you can say that. The Royals, there's nothing entertaining about watching the Royals right now. It is like painful is the easiest way to like describe it, and that word gets tossed around a little bit. It is painful to watch the Royals right now. That game last night was painful to watch and to listen to. I listened to the first half right here on KFH, and thank goodness Denny was on the call early in those bases loaded situations, because you know Denny, he never gets real high or real low, because if that had been me on the call, I might have punched the window in front of me. Like, are you kidding me? We can't score with a couple different opportunities with the bases loaded and less than two outs. We can't score. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
You should have
crazy,
flipped
crazy.
Over to the Nuggets and Timberwolves. That was fairly entertaining.
I should have flipped over to the Nuggets and Timberwolves. Yeah. I think that would have been a better
idea.
I know my son, who just loves any kind of basketball, he loves any kind of sports right now. Maybe we'll fire up a basketball game just to let him do it and give myself a break from the Royals. Royals, they'll play again tonight. We got Shocker Baseball tonight right here on KFH at 5:45. So we'll have that for you as well. By the way, if you miss anything and you're on the way to work, you want to keep listening to us, you want to listen to us after the fact, we've got a podcast out. It's on the Odyssey app and odyssey.com. Just download the app or visit odyssey.com and search for KFH. We'll have much more coming up this week on the draft. TJ will be back in tomorrow. We're going to bring in Joshua Briscoe tomorrow to talk about the NFL draft, our Chiefs insider on the Chiefs radio network, see what he's hearing there. Andy Reid didn't give us much yesterday. Brett Veach gave us quite a bit. So we can go back last week to some of Brett Veach's comments, but we have that in there. Shreyas Lotta is going to join us tomorrow as well as KU still dragging their feet. Paul, we got you in next week a little bit. I've got to get your thoughts on what's happening with KU and Tyron Stokes, who still has not decided. KU's kind of being held hostage, it feels like, a little bit here by a freshman. There's a lot going on. That's the other thing. Like these kind of pull your hair out stories are key. That you don't know, like the following the transfer portal is also keeping me up. But it's not all bad news out of the portal, because Wichita State, Paul, Shockers, going to have some buzz going into next year. They're going to have some buzz going into next year. They're doing something nobody else is doing. We'll talk to Kevin Saul about it tomorrow, I believe, too. So busy Wednesday coming up. We got a little bit more still here to go on a Tuesday, though. Stick around. We got more Sports Daily.
Kansas Fan Headquarters, 97.5 and 1240 KFH Wichita, KNSS HD2 Clearwater, and Odyssey Sports Station.
The KFH Studios, powered by Devon James Injury Lawyers. Call 888-8888.
That's 888-8888.
I move mountains for a living. Literally. That means I don't carry hand lotion, and when it comes to serious heartburn, I don't mess around with anything but Rolaids. Rolaids dual active formula has calcium carbonate and magnesium hydroxide that relieves heartburn fast. Yeah, you heard right. Two actives for that powerful relief. And the best part? The roll fits right here in my pocket, so I can get back to moving mountains.
Rolaids spells powerful relief. Read each label. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Dell PCs with Intel Inside are built for the moments you plan and the ones you don't. For the time you forgot your charger at the gate.
Passengers, we are now on our initial ascent.
Or when you're bouncing between projects like a ping pong ball. We build PCs with long-lasting battery life, so you're not scrambling for an outlet. And built-in intelligence, so you can stay focused on whatever you're doing. Dell Technologies, built for you. Dell.com/DellPCs.
At Busey, banking is about more than numbers. It's about relationships. For over 150 years, we've been helping individuals, families, and businesses reach their goals with personalized service and local decision-making. Whether you're opening your first account or planning your next big move, we're here with the tools and support to help you move forward with confidence. Busey Bank, your partner for life's moments, both big and small. Member FDIC.
Toppers Plus Truck and RV will hook you up for trailer and RV season. Get receiver hitches, goosenecks, fifth wheel hitches, brake controllers, and trailer wiring to ease the towing of your boat, cycle, RV, or lawn equipment. Choose from top brands of hitches, including B&W hitches, Curt, and Drawtite. Need to take your vehicle camping with you? Toppers Plus has Blue Ox base plates and tow bars. Get trailer season ready at Toppers Plus Truck and RV, 333 Northwest Street, or toppersplusks.com.
Make your truck work for you!
Saving money in outdoor storage when you shop at Menards. Suncast sheds have the storage space you need for any backyard, whether you're protecting bikes and toys or sorting yard tools. Suncast selection of durable, low-maintenance outdoor sheds come in a variety of styles and sizes to fit your needs. Pick up an in-stock Suncast storage shed today and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all our great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
In a world in need of a hero, one man rises to the challenge in style. He is...
Just driving the kids to soccer practice.
Make every day feel epic in the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid with up to an EPA estimated 619 miles of range on select trims, advanced tech, and class-leading interior space. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details.
And hey, come on, no cleats on the seats.
It's deck days at Lowe's, and the savings are stacked. Right now, pros get 15% off all in-stock composite decking from top brands like Trex, TimberTech, and Decorators. Plus, get a free DeWalt 20-volt max 5-amp-hour battery when you buy a select DeWalt tool. The deck's stacked in your favor with brands pros trust. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 4/22 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. The Bengals had a clear plan in mind this offseason. Fix the defensive line and do it now by sending the 10th overall pick to the Giants for Dexter Lawrence. Cincinnati landed one of the premier interior defenders in football. It's a move that immediately raises the floor of a unit that was on the floor. Lawrence is not a projection. He's a proven talent. He lives in the opposition's backfield. He's physical, capable of clearing rushing lanes for outside pass rushers. That's the appeal. The concern is everything else that comes with it. He arrives with a massive contract, and paired with deals for Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and T. Higgins, the Bengals are now committing an immense amount of cap for just four players. Lauren.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.